In the early hours of June 13th, 2025, more than 200 Israeli fighter jets began to bomb Iran, and it triggered a 12-day conflict that would leave hundreds dead. On a prediction market called Polymarket, one user had placed tens of thousands of dollars on yes in a market asking whether Israel would take military action against Iran by a certain date, even though the odds were hovering at around 10%. When the strikes began and the market resolved, that bettor walked away with about $128,000. A similar episode emerged last month. On the afternoon of Friday, February 27th, a Paris-based crypto analytics firm called Bubble Maps reported that six suspected insiders had made, and wait for this, $1.2 million betting on a US strike on Iran on Polymarket. According to the company, six newly created crypto wallets had played large yes bets shortly before the attack began. Could all of this just be down to luck? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. If this all sounds too crazy to be true, then I get it. That's understandable. But it's happening, and it's in America right now in 2026. So where did these markets come from, and what impact are they having on the individuals who use them and on the wider political landscape in the United States? And what are the chances of their coming here to Ireland? Well, joining me to discuss this is Declan Lynch, columnist with the Sunday Independent and author of Tony 10, the astonishing story of the postman who gambled €10 million and lost it all. And Marshall Cohen, senior reporter with CNN. I'm going to come to you, Declan, first. Declan, you are very welcome to News Talk Daily. Let's just start, I suppose, with what these prediction markets are. Where do they operate and how do they actually work?
Cheltenham is on at the moment, as we know. I did a piece last Sunday in the paper because of that. The energy, if you like, which drives Cheltenham is basically the same energy that drives prediction markets, people trying to make easy money. Now, you referenced there the what seemed like kind of insider dealing or people knowing the results before it was actually sort of anybody else did. That is not dissimilar to people getting a tip for a horse in Cheltenham or or get to have a good sort of bit of insider knowledge. What is fundamentally different, though, between sort of the ancient sort of systems of gambling and prediction markets is that prediction markets pretend for dubious reasons that they're not actually gambling. First of all, they're called prediction markets. If you were having a bet on Cheltenham, you're trying to predict something. And there's a market for it. So you would think that it's the same thing. And in fact, it is. But the only possible motivation behind calling it prediction markets is to evade regulation. Gambling, you know, is subjected to certain regulations, not enough probably, but with online gambling. But it does come under a regulatory framework. In the US, it's really quite different and quite complicated. The background to all of this is the exponential growth of online gambling generally. There's like a pandemic of online gambling now, and you can already bet on things other than sport. What a lot of us who've been writing about this were wondering was, what effect would all this have when it hit America, right? Because in the United States, for decades and decades, they've had this very strange regulatory framework for gambling, right? It was almost as if they had the social contract back in the 1930s, and they said, to organize crime, you can have gambling. So you have all these places like Las Vegas, these destination resorts. You have states where gambling is completely illegal, right? So it's a very mixed up situation. And then a few years back, the Supreme Court liberalized the situation, which now enables online gambling in quite a lot of areas. And the results have been just far more catastrophic than even the most pessimistic of us could have imagined. I mean, apart from just levels of addiction spiraling like instantaneously, within this framework, We then move on to this new kind of offshoot of it, a kind of a hybrid of a lot of these things, prediction markets, which is basically designed to lure in the last part of humanity, which has not yet sort of succumbed to other forms of gambling. Like, for example, when the online gambling kicked in, first of all, the one challenge bookies always had is that women, they couldn't really crack how to get that half of the human race to bet because it was largely sporting events. Then by offering things like casino games and all that, they've now ramped up the amount of women hugely who are engaged in gambling. And now you can see prediction markets as almost like the last part of humanity thus far untouched by the pandemic, by sort of making it all about like current affairs or about events outside sport. The idea is to lure all of these people in. And with the great bonus that you actually pretend it's not gambling at all. It's like the stock market, or it's like, you know, they call it investing, you know. So that's the sort of background of it. And it is pretty scary, I have to say.
I mean, when I hear you describe it there, Declan, it reminds me of the betting exchanges that are already available to people, where you can go in and wager a bet based on perhaps something happening or indeed something not happening. It's a bit different to the traditional gambling that a lot of people will be familiar with.
Yeah, but then we already have that. Betfair has been doing that for a long time, you know, so that is not a new phenomenon in itself. You know, they kind of set it up obviously differently than just like, you know, betting on a horse at 2-1, right? It doesn't actually work like that. It works on the same as Betfair in the sense that you can either back on something to win or to lose. You know, you can be a bookie yourself kind of at one side of it. The fundamental principle is that you're gambling. Right. I mean, the basic primal energy that is in force here is gambling. And it's drawn a lot of attention because of the potential for abuse is so marked in this that it has already kind of given rise almost to like levels of satire. You know, I mean, for example, that you can bet on things like the length of a White House press conference or whether President Trump will speak for over or under 2 hours on the State of the Union address. And given the sort of people around the White House these days, the potential for carry on there is quite extraordinary. Once you're betting on things that have a human element that somebody knows the result of, you know, it gives enormous potential for corruption and also just for the madness of it. I mean, you can bet on things like whether Jesus Christ will come back to Earth or something, you know, or whether aliens will walk down New York or whatever. Gambling has this fantastic attraction that you can literally make money by just guessing the result of something, be it a football match or the Eurovision Song Contest. And it's so attractive, which is why you need regulation and why you've had so little of it is so extraordinary. I mean, in Ireland, for example, gambling has only had a regulator since last year. It's amazing. Proper regulation, because the industry kept pushing and pushing and pushing back against it because they're just making some incredible amounts of money.
Who are the companies that are operating in this particular sphere, and where are they operating?
Well, it's largely an American phenomenon. Polymarket and Kalshi are the two probably best known ones, right? And in fact, a lot of media organizations are now linked in with these companies because they use it as a kind of, you know, just to predict. They were saying, you know, an election in Georgia, this particular candidate is favorite in it, and they've harnessed that, right? But specifically at the moment, the best known examples of it are those two companies I mentioned. And the United States, it's where it's really kind of booming, simply because people see the incredible amounts of money you can make. I mean, one in our own country, like, we are world leaders. Paddy Power became an enormous worldwide company.
You mentioned some of the big networks in the United States actually having a relationship with some of these companies and being able to use their data, because they have been quite accurate at times at predicting outcomes that perhaps traditional pollsters or traditional commentators haven't been able to see. I see in the UK, actually, that the markets have apparently become much better predictors of political results than traditional polling.
Polling is increasingly difficult, I think. There's a great question about modern polling anyway, as to whether they're getting people, whether their methods are working properly, you know. The simple point about betting markets is that they respond just to the amount of money been put on them. So obviously people with more knowledge or more insider knowledge, if they're betting on something, I suppose it tends to suggest that that is the more likely outcome. Yeah.
Do you see these markets, these companies coming to Ireland being made available here?
Oh, I think it will undoubtedly. This will become a global phenomenon. Like the gamblification, if you like, of the world is in progress and is almost complete now. And it will get everywhere in the same as the internet is. It'll go wherever the internet goes, which is basically everywhere, you know?
All right. Declan Lynch, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Ciara.
Marshall Cohen is a senior reporter with CNN, and he is also on today's podcast. Marshall, you're very welcome, first of all, to News Talk Daily. In terms, I suppose, of the explosion in the use of these accounts, particularly in the United States, over a very short period of time, what can you tell us about that, and what do you think has really driven that?
Hey, Ciara. Well, this has become more and more popular in the US and frankly around the world, but we saw a huge spike in the United States around the 2024 presidential election. Before that election, there was a landmark court ruling that legalized prediction betting on elections, which really swung open the door for these websites to start doing it. And we saw a ton of money go in on 2024, Donald Trump versus Kamala Harris. Obviously, it was a huge race, a lot of interest. People not only watching to see who was going to lead the United States, but also a lot of predictions were made along the way. So there was a huge spike there. Then it subsided quite a bit in 2025, but it did significantly ramp up in the sort of fall of last year. There's a website that tracks how much money is spent every week on prediction markets. Worldwide, not just the U.S., and it has steadily, in the last 6 months, been increasing more and more each week, and now it's about $5 billion each week traded on these prediction websites, which is way more than it was just 7 or 8 months ago.
On these websites, look, you can gamble on anything. You can gamble on what the most popular song on Spotify of the year is going to be. But there's also, I think, more distasteful content on there, isn't there? Like, when is there going to be a military strike in a particular region? When is a particular political leader going to die? When is a war going to begin?
Yeah, it's all fun and games when you're betting about the weather and your favorite song. It gets a little more serious when you're betting on sports, right? Because the stakes can be incredibly high. And then it's deadly serious when you're talking about literally life and death, war, like you mentioned. We've seen in the last 3 months this year, when the U.S. Captured Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro, there was a lot of activity around that and the future of Venezuela and oil and the leadership of that country and whether there were going to be additional military actions in that country. And of course, it ramped up massively with this ongoing conflict in Iran that the U.S. and Israel began about a week ago with a wave of airstrikes. And there were debates on these prediction sites. Who's going to strike first? Is it going to be Iran or Israel? Are they going to hit this city? How is Iran going to respond? Which country is Iran going to bomb in response? When are they going to close the Strait of Hormuz? How long will the Strait of Hormuz be closed? Who's going to be the next supreme leader, et cetera? Every single thing, Kira, that you could possibly contemplate about this massive, deadly, ongoing conflict, you can seemingly find a market online to bet on it.
And was there particular activity, do you think, and particular details about the accounts that were placing these bets, placing these trades, that did raise suspicions in terms of the timing or the funding of the accounts or indeed the betting history of the accounts?
Yeah, most of the betting that's happening it's just pretty normal, right? But because this is all through blockchain technology and everything is traceable in terms of having a public ledger of what bets have been placed and when, it's pretty easy to see when something suspicious happens because we know that this account put this much money down on this wager at this time. That's the good news. The bad news is a lot of the stuff is totally secret in the sense that that's all we know. It's very, very difficult to actually see, okay, who is behind this specific account. With Maduro, we saw one bet that made $400,000 because very shortly before the U.S. operation, which was secret, of course, they bet that Maduro would be ousted. And that was an amazing bet, raising concerns about potential insider trading because it wasn't known that this was going to happen on this particular day. It wasn't even known that it was going to happen at all. You know, the U.S. had been in a conflict with Venezuela. They had moved a lot of military assets to the region, but it wasn't publicly signaled that we are going to go get Maduro on this particular day, obviously, but some insiders somewhere, whether in the government or the military or a friend of a friend, whoever it might be, someone made a lot of money on that. And we saw some very similar activity right before the strikes in Iran. Just a few hours, some new accounts were created on Polymarket and bets were placed that paid off quite handsomely. I should also note, Polymarket does have approval to operate in the U.S., but it's not fully up and running yet in the U.S. So all these viral bets that you hear about that are very suspicious and very well-timed, almost all of that is happening on the offshore site for Polymarket, the international site that is not under the umbrella of American federal regulations, which is why some of this shady stuff can happen seemingly without any consequences.
I also saw, Marshall, one account that was created in November that has been solely dedicated to wagering that Trump would appoint Kevin Warsh as the next chair of the Federal Reserve. And it persisted even when the odds dropped to about 7%. And after Trump announced that Warsh was going to be the next chair of the Federal Reserve, that account profited by $142,000. So there's huge sums to be won here. There's a lot of money in this.
Yeah, I mean, if you're willing to put down the money, you can make a lot of money, just like a casino or sports betting or a horse track or, you know, an old school bookie in the back room, right? If you think you've got an edge, you can make some money. That's why a lot of states in the U.S. have gone to court, Kira, because they've argued this is just gambling. It's betting, it's gambling, and we regulate gambling. We regulate it pretty aggressively, and we have the right to regulate it. The federal government has made an argument here in the U.S. that we have the right to regulate it and the exclusive right to regulate it. The federal government only, not the states. There's an active debate happening right now across the U.S. in multiple courts, in multiple jurisdictions over how this is going to be regulated, because just like you said, there is a lot of money to potentially be made. And also, there's a lot of danger. You know, experts I've spoken to have said there is a huge problem right now, especially with sports betting and fantasy sports, young men becoming addicted to gambling. It's never been easier. You could do it on your phones. And they think that this is particularly popular among young men in their 20s and 30s, all this prediction stuff, and that there is a public need for more regulation. That's what some of the experts say.
In terms of these prediction market companies, Marshalls, they do have really close ties with the Trump family, don't they? Namely, Donald J. Trump Jr. Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting situation. There is some overlap here. So two companies have the overwhelming majority of the market right now in the prediction market space. We already mentioned Polymarket, which has regulatory approval to operate in the U.S., but is not really up and running in the U.S. So they have a very robust business offshore, people outside of the U.S. using its platform, or people in the U.S. that kind of slip through the cracks by using a VPN. That's one company. And Donald Trump Jr. is an investor in Polymarket, and he is on the board, an advisory board for Polymarket. Then there's Kalshi, which is a very similar company, but there are some key distinctions, Kira. Kalshi is working in the U.S. with full regulatory approval. They are regulated by the federal government here in the U.S., and their website is for U.S. users. So what they do, it has to be legal and passing muster within the U.S. For instance, insider trading is banned on their platform. They recently banned some people for allegedly doing insider trading. So similar companies, very different. I should also note that CNN has a partnership with Kalshi. We use Kalshi's data to cover major political and cultural events, but CNN editorial employees like myself are prohibited from participating in any of these prediction markets. But Donald Trump Jr. is also an advisor to Kalshi too. So he is working with Polymarket. He is working with Kalshi on marketing strategy. And there is a thought among some of the insiders and experts and folks that have been watching this industry very closely. There is a thought that because of the Trump family's relationship with these companies, that makes it unlikely that the Trump administration is going to regulate these companies very aggressively. And that would be consistent, Kira, with their general posture toward a lot of business, right? It's been a pretty industry-friendly administration thus far, but it's especially friendly, we've seen in the last year, if the Trump family stands to benefit. And I should note, of course, Kira, that Donald Trump Jr. Has said, and his spokesman has said publicly, that he does not lobby the government on behalf of these companies. He's an advisor. He helps with marketing. He does not bet. He does not do insider trading. He does not use these companies. He is a professional business advisor. That's what his team says.
And to be fair, Marshall, there has been no hard evidence put forward that would suggest this insider trading is actually taking place. Now, I did see one of the wagers that was placed on Iran being attacked, being investigated because the account was traced to an ex-account of an individual living in a kibbutz in Israel. And the Israeli authorities are now going to investigate that to see if there was any potential at all for insider trading. Do you get any sense that there is the same appetite to investigate this within the United States?
In terms of a, you know, criminal investigation, there's no indication of any sort of interest from the U.S. Justice Department to do that. It could be happening. These investigations typically are secret and we don't know about them. It's possible. But I'll tell you who is interested: members of Congress. We've seen a lot of lawmakers on Capitol Hill that are outraged by what's going on, mostly Democrats, but one or two Republicans as well have raised the alarm. They think that this risk of insider trading is significant, and there are members that are trying to propose new legislation that would make it illegal, explicitly illegal, for insiders to bet on these prediction markets and make money. To be clear, Kira, as it stands right now, a lot of this quote-unquote insider trading that occurs on these platforms might be legal. And that's why these lawmakers are trying to ban it.
Marshall Cohen, it's absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much. Marshall is a senior reporter with CNN and has written extensively about this. And I do recommend you search his name on Google and you'll come up with multiple links with that information. Marshall, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. See ya.
Well, that's it from us here today. We'll be back with another podcast bright and early tomorrow morning. See you then.